Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
34. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Then Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus, and he said, "Men of Athens, I see that you're extremely religious in every aspect, for I was passing through and observing objects of your worship. I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live under the whole earth and has determined their appointed time and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for he in him we live, move, and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being God's offspring, then, we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof to this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, 'We'd like to hear from you again about this.' Then Paul left their presence. However, some men joined him and believed, including Dionysus and Apagite, a woman named Demarius, and others with them." Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning for the privilege of being here. Father, for the privilege of knowing that your word transcends time. It is truth. It is absolute, Father, and does not change. Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would hinder anything, Lord, remove any distraction, anything that would take away from you being the sole focus of everything that's said and done this morning. Father, hide me behind the cross today, God. We know your spirit can speak and will. We give you preeminent reign in everything. Father, if there's one here or online that does not know you as Lord and Savior today, God, I pray that your spirit would convict them, would help them understand. Others maybe that are running from you, Father, they have been struggling with what it means to know, love, honor, glorify, and serve you. I pray today, Father, that you would shed the light of truth into their hearts and lives. They would repent, and they would be restored in fellowship to you through their confession of sin. And as your word says, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we thank you so much again for this body of Christ, for each family, each person that has been blessed with us being a part of their lives. God, I thank you this morning, Lord, that you are in the business of restoring the brokenness, the hurt, the heartache, the misery of life apart from you. And God, we pray today, Lord, there'd be a mighty harvest for the kingdom. And we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You be seated. Listen to verse 22 and 23 again. Then Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus. He says, "Men of Athens, I see that you're extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which it was inscribed to an unknown God." First thing that I want to share with you this morning comes from those two verses, and it is this. Passion for truth is wonderful when truth is found. These are passionate people we see in these verses in this story. They were seeking, it was almost like in the 60s, if you never heard anything about the Stairway movement, they're just trying to springboard one after another, trying to find truth. They're on a spiritual pilgrimage, so to speak. To cover all their bases, this really reminds me a lot of the Baha'i faith, which originated in Iran, which was biblically Persia, now Iran, modern day. Iran, the Baha'i faith is very, very, very popular, not by the government, right? But the Baha'i faith in their worship centers are usually circular in nature. There are doors all the way around the whole entire thing, and there's usually a glass dome on the top with which a light is shown in the center. And what it is representative or indicative of is that all roads lead to the light. Now we know that Scripture is explicit in the truth that there is but one way to heaven. There has to be the payment for sin, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the gateway to the Father to restore fellowship. Honestly, if you step back and look at it, it's pretty profound when you really think about the concept. There can only be one creator, amen? Same way that in leadership in the military, there can only be one true leader. You think about a creator, you think about the brokenness, the whole entire concept of, we call it Christianity, whatever you want to call it, in understanding that there's this broken, we got the example of why this happened. The only way to restore this brokenness is through the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Even the concept of Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit, therefore averting the sin nature, because had Jesus had a sin nature, he never could have paid the sin debt, amen? He would have had to pay for his own sin. But because of that in and of itself, all of it is so perfectly picturesque of truth. What is even more amazing about it is, you're struggling with it? Good. Pray, God, I want nothing more than to know truth. You're praying in line with God's will, right? Because his desire is that none should perish. So you're praying in line with God's truth. What is God going to do? He answers, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. All through the Old Testament, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. I don't hear any of that in these. I've studied a number of religions all over the planet. All of those are works-based at a chance for some type of reward. The only real picture of one where there's an assurity in that is one of the religions where if you take your own life, you die in jihad, right? Then there's the guarantee that you and your extended family. That's why when you see someone that does that, the mother's running around, jumping up and down with excitement at a picture of their child, because what they have, in essence, done is guaranteed salvation to this mother. So that's why mom's excited that her child's been blown to smithereens. Because if you see that and don't understand it, you're like, what's wrong with this woman? This lady's crazy. Every one of these mothers is all excited. Their kid just got blown into a million pieces. Now you understand why they're so excited, because their child has literally committed the ultimate act of sacrificial love for their family. So sad, amen? Very, very sad. But this picture this morning, passion for truth, it's wonderful when truth is, let's just say this too, the motivating factor for it. When truth is the essence of it, when the truth has been found, passion's great, but passion for a lie is no excitement at all. That's not good at all. It's not wonderful. It's terrible. Because what is deception going to do? Hey, how about the compromise of what's happened a lot during COVID, and now you hear it all the time. Bedside Baptist Church is bursting at the seams right now. Bedside Baptist Church bursting at the seams. Church of the Inner Spring, same thing. An explosion in attendance. Well, you know, we like to do it around, we like to be on the couch and spend time as a family alone. Hey, I'd buy into that too if Scripture didn't explicitly speak to that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling as some are in the manner of doing. It is not a suggestion. You might not want to stay at home because you end up becoming complacent, apathetic, indifferent, and by the way, you set up the altar to self and family and whatever else you do. So just consider maybe not buying into that. No, it explicitly says, do not forsake the assembling as some are in the manner of doing. So my statement is this: if you have something you want to do, back it up biblically. And not, by the way, not just with two words you take out of context. If you're going to do something and you want to in a sense, bet the farm on it. You better have the backing of it, and it better be scripturally sound and accurate because this is my thing. Again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the things you have going on around us. All you've got to do is read the intakes at the Bedford County Police Department, right, with Mobile Patrol, and you will see that people are not getting better. They're not achieving this euphoric love for mankind, and this people are getting better belief system that sometimes I hear people say, and I'm like, what in the world are they eating? What drugs are they using? Because there is no way that you can honestly say that unless you are delusional. People are not getting better. People are getting more depraved. As a matter of fact, we are, if anything, we're seeing that depravity knows no limits. It knows no limits. So when you see alone, even in the city of Shelbyville of Bedford County, the number of abuse that happens on any given day, and I'll leave it at that, the number of cases in just this little city on any number of days, that did not originate in heaven. That originated in a place that the demonic realm, I just flat and plain and simple, it originated in the architect of hell, Satan, who desired to run from God and establish his own kingdom. So you care so much about, you know, I'd never let nobody hurt my family. I'd kill everybody. All right, I'm hearing you talk, but yet, I'm not going to force them to go to church. Man, I don't want them to hate church. So you're not bringing them to the place to expose them to the place where they're going to hear truth and be protected like no one ever could by a God that loves them, created them, has a purpose and a plan for them. We're going to be apathetic and indifferent and ain't no big deal. Everything's going to work out. The likelihood of them ever coming to genuine faith in Jesus Christ becomes slimmer and slimmer as we go down that path. So you would allow them to potentially be taken captive and taken to a place where the level of depravity is unspeakable because you don't want them not to like church? Or we've fallen into the belief system of, you know, I think church is a man-made concoction. Church, I'm telling you, I've heard so many stories, the things that I hear from pastors that you would be blown away. You know what I hear from y'all? You want to come to church, you want to worship. And that's exciting to hear, but again, it's sad for me to hear because my pastor friends tell me how many of their people are just dropping, jumping ship left and right. They're just falling out off the boat left and right. So as much as I want to say, man, I'm so thankful we have a church body that just loves to worship, I won't say that because I don't want to seem like I'm being arrogant. Does that make sense? I don't want to seem like I'm that guy who's sitting back saying, well, we're not having that problem. You know, in my mind, I thank God that he's given us people that just love to fellowship. But more importantly, they love Jesus, and therefore, as a result, they want to spend time fellowshipping and worshiping. They know that we're not going to get extra points with God because we showed up here today and God's going to love me more because I came. No. Everybody here realizes there's nothing we could do to make him love us more, or there's nothing we could do on a bad day to make him love us less. We're just thankful that he saved us and we'd be given this privilege. And as a matter of fact, me being here 15 years now, God has blessed us with the privilege of being a part of the work of his hands and the singular kingdom in Longview Baptist Church for the last 15 years. To God be the glory, and the church has since been going since 1913. What a blessing. God is so good, amen? Let's see, passion for truth is wonderful when truth is the motivator, when truth is found. That's what they were dealing with, as Paul's seeing here. They were seeking things, but it wasn't truth, and that's why we've got to be really careful, because deception is so rampant all over the place. Don't think for a moment that you or I cannot be taken into it, because again, Side Baptist is calling. And if we are not careful and we fall out of God's word and we stop staying in his presence, deception is right there to fill the void from the compromise that we will convince ourselves is no compromise at all. And then the second thing comes down here. Let's look at verse 23 through 29. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out, find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and we move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being God's offspring then, we shouldn't think the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination. Second thing I'm going to share with you this morning is this. There is only one true God. Reference that just a moment ago. There is but one name under heaven by which a man must be saved. Don't ever buy into the brilliance of human philosophy. Again, when you see people like Stephen Hawking, it can be an alluring thought. When you watch the movie, what was the movie about him? I know I'm not the only one who's watched that. Theory of Everything? That's it, isn't it? Theory of Everything. Anybody watch that? Please watch it. It's about the life of Stephen Hawking. By the way, his first wife was a believer, hardcore, sold-out believer, who at one point could have let them remove the breathing apparatus from him, but she wouldn't let it happen because she knew that he was not a follower of Christ, and she did not want him to breathe his last breath because she knew that what would happen at that moment is he would spend his eternity separated from God. Stephen Hawking was a very intelligent man. Now, y'all might think that, the world might think that, but perfectly honestly, I don't think he's that intelligent. Now, he might have been a physicist type of person, and he went to these prestigious universities, but to me, a person who has that type of wisdom but rejects the fact that a creator created this, to me, I'm sorry, there's my disconnect in believing that you're that smart. So here's this guy who the world thought was so intelligent, but this is where my issue severely becomes with the disconnect in relation to his brilliance. You're so smart that you can tell me that we originated out of this black cloud of whatever nothingness and this big bang, however, you know, evolutionary theory in life. You cannot tell me how to cure what he had. I'm sorry, but I just don't. I'm not tracking. You're going to tell me that he's never touched, he could not feel, all of this stuff in space that he could not touch, stand there and look at and see. He was able to tell us everything about how all of that started, but yet here he is in a body that completely was incapacitated. You're not going to tell me how to cure what you have and you can see, feel, touch, and everything that right now? But you're going to tell me there's no God in a space that you can't even physically stand in front of, touch, explore, look under a microscope, and look right now at what's in front of you. I'm not tracking. I'm sorry, I'm not. You can't tell me how to cure the common rhinovirus? You can't tell me how to cure, let's go simple, how about your basic cancers? You can't tell me with small cell lung cancer, let's deal with that. Very aggressive cancer that kills people really quick. And you're going to tell me there's no God. I don't get it. That's why we've got to be really careful, because the world wants to scream, there's no God. You are the God of your universe, and what that's done to our culture is sent us in an absolute furious ball of nothingness because there's nothing to live for. Why? Yes, there is a God. Why in the world would Jesus' name be so divisive if there was not power in that name? Step back and let's look at evidence. I'm an evidentiary-based person, okay? The 7,000-year mark and the Cambrian fossil layer, if you dig down, right? Fossil layers, you can study it. This is actual tangible evidence. They said people that don't even believe that God created said we can't explain it, but there was an explosion of life. I'm not an astrophysicist. I've got your answer. God spoke it and it happened. There's your explosion of life. We don't understand why we can't find the transitionary fossils. We're going to find them one day. You can keep looking. It's not going to happen. By the way, you should have found them long before now if that was true. It's because God created an evolutionary biology of life, and the creation of life through evolutionary theory is not true because God created. How much more can you buy into the lie of the enemy that tries to steal away the glory of God and his creative genius and sell you a lie? That's someone who gets a brand spanking new whatever car, a Dodge Challenger, right? And sticks it on the lot right there and says, I'll sell you this brand new car for $3,000. Now, if you're me, you're not going to go, yeah, I'll get right to $3,000 right now. Let's go in there and do the paperwork. No. I'm going to lift up the hood. I'm going to pop the trunk. I'm going to get up under there and look. Some of you would just hand the $3,000, and guess what you'd do? You'd get in there, you'd put the key in it, but it won't start. Yeah, because you didn't look under the hood. There's no motor, and there's no transmission. They sold you a shell. They sold you an illusion. They sold you a mirage. And that's what we got to be careful of, because, see, there's only one true God, but yet the enemy masquerades as an angel of light and tries to deceive. The more truth of deception has in it, the more dangerous it is. And then third and final thing comes out of verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent. And then 31, because he set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Stand firm. Somebody's going to listen. Paul's showing you right here, you may have a lot of people that reject truth. There's going to be some people that do. I think I shared, it might have been yesterday, at men's breakfast, I was talking to some of the people, I think while they were cooking, and I said, I've learned something in 15 years here at Longview Baptist Church and in ministry, which has been longer than that. I've learned something. There's going to be people that don't want anything to do with you trying to disciple them, trying to minister to them, and trying to help them. I've learned that. Now, earlier on, I thought I could compel them after enough time to get them to want to do the right thing, but see, this is what I do. I spend time with people who want to grow, who want a transforming work of God, and who want to walk and serve, honor, and glorify Christ. When somebody doesn't want to, or they want to play games, that's okay. I have what's called a quick disconnect. It's like those, PEX fittings. You know, you got those quick disconnects. Now you can quick disconnect. And the reason is, why am I going to continue to try to compel someone to do what they clearly do not want to do and waste the time trying to get someone to do what they don't want to do when there are people out thirsty and hungry to grow in their walk with Christ? Makes sense, doesn't it? Amen? Do you think the McDonald's person is going to stand up there while you ask them about every sandwich on their menu while there is a line full of people that are ready to place an order? No, they're going to tell you go out to that kiosk or go pound dirt. They don't have time for that. They want to invest in people who actually are desiring to do something. You're not, as a car salesman, going to go in there and talk to somebody with a 300 credit rating that couldn't buy or do anything if they wanted to. When you have a person right there with a checkbook ready to buy a car, wouldn't you? I'd tell them, listen, go wait in my office next door to my office. I'm going to chat with you, but I got a person that's ready to buy right now, and there's three people behind them. What does that mean? Invest in something that's going to give you a return. This doesn't give you a return, does it? It's for the kingdom. Spiritually, keep hanging in there. Somebody's going to listen. If you have someone that you're trying to get to do the right thing and you're trying to encourage and challenge in the Lord, the only thing you get with is always a negativity of, I don't like this, and the world's bad, and everybody's terrible, and you said this, and you did that, there's going to be somebody that is literally like a sponge. When you put your spiritual sponge in the Lord, and you're just dripping with the Holy Spirit's power and presence, and that person's going to be a dry sponge, and they're going to soak up everything that you want to share with them. And they're going to be so excited, and they're going to share what God's doing in their life with you. And you know what you're going to feel like? You're going to feel like a valuable tool in the hands of the Lord, because you're going to feel the blessing of seeing someone else who is so hungry and so thirsty for truth. Now, is it good to have the engagements with the person that wants to sit down and debate theology with you? Sure it is. Don't do it to the detriment of someone who right now is growing in their walk with the Lord and desires a deeper, more intimate fellowship with the Creator. You've got to be very careful these days. We did that Blueprints for Life study almost 15 years ago now. Blueprints for Life taught us something. It taught us that every day we have to choose to rob someone. Every day someone's going to get robbed in your life. What does that mean? That means you've got to prioritize the things in your life, and you need to rob the things on the lowest priority level. What would a priority level be with someone who's playing around and doesn't want anything to do with what you are and antagonistic spiritually versus someone who desires to grow in their walk with Christ? You're not a rocket scientist either, are you? Doesn't take one to say, wait a minute, this person desires to know Christ. I'm going to put them at a higher priority level than the person who's antagonistic, who doesn't even care about anything and is always mocking the things of the Lord when I'm talking about them. Prioritize spiritually. Paul, this is real. Why? Paul saw that these people were thirsty for truth. He knew that there was a desire to know something. What was the missing element? Truth. Paul knew this wasn't a waste of time. The ones that began to be mocking, antagonistic, okay, I'll go over here and minister to the ones in this group that are desiring to know, that are desiring to hear, desiring to experience a genuine truth and what it is and what it means. This morning, we're learning so much out of this study of Acts. What is it? God has a purpose. He has a plan. We've got to be harmless as serpents, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Every single day, God, where can you use me? That's where it comes more importantly into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 mindset. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And what? He will direct your paths. Are we good at discerning where God needs us? No. But he's really good at hearing our prayer, our genuine plea. Father, I want to be an effective tool in your hand. God, I don't know where you need me today. God, I'm antagonistic of everything around me. I'm antagonistic of everyone around me. God, teach me to have the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, right? Self-control, all these different things we know as God's Word says. Because I know one thing, what old flesh like to do? Antagonistic and angry and bitter. And yeah, everybody's the same way in them churches, right? How many times have we heard that or even potentially in your lifetime said that? You know how them old Christians are? Full of a bunch of hypocrites down there. You know what I tell them? Room for one more. Amen? Sinners saved by the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus, and I can assure you, the most godly of godly people in this church, if I had enough time with you, I could point out hypocrisy at one point or another in your life. What is the good part about that is realizing that there's nothing that separates us from the world apart from a transforming work of God through Christ Jesus. And we're only one or two bad decisions away from being that very thing that we at times stood there like a Pharisee and said, I can't believe those people. Just realize there's nothing that we are not capable of. And pray that God's restraining grace would hold us back from the battle that rages within us. And that God would give us the strength and allow us to run the race faithfully to completion. And that God would give us the ability to be a demonstration of forgiveness, of redemption. Because life is a vapor, church. It is here today, gone tomorrow. And I pray that you're living today like it's your last day, because one day we'll be right. As sadly our family learned so notably in the last 3 months, last Thursday, I believe it was, or Friday, that quit. Life was gone. And it's going to be the same for you and I one day. Yeah, there'll be some people in here that get the cancer, deathbed, congestive heart, whatever it is, and you'll have a little bit of a chance to sit back with family around that bed, as the old saying is, with that deathbed experience, but it's going to be a lot of us don't get that. There's going to be a lot of days when we come in one Sunday morning or we're going to get a call and you were awake one moment, living. Maybe somebody spent time with you that day like I did with Danny 2 days before he passed away. I spent 3 hours with him. He called me over to spend time with me. I was thankful that I got that time with him, but one day it's going to be that, well, I just talked to them. How can they be gone? Because that's the way it is. And we are not now, I pray, living, dying to live. I pray you're living to die. I pray you're desiring to be what Paul and all of them, Paul says, my desire is to depart. I hope your desire is to depart. Now, not prematurely, that you finish the work that God created you to finish and then go and stand in his presence to receive the reward as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship. and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.